Daniel chapter 1. Let's go there in the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 1. We'll get our Bibles prepared for the preaching of God's Word. Daniel chapter 1. Working our way through this series that we've entitled The Clash Between Christianity and Culture. And that clash seems like it's getting more intense every week. As we study prophecy, we study the Word of God, we look at what's happening in our world and mirror it with what God says in His Word, we shouldn't be surprised. Now watch this now. Just because we're not surprised about the clash doesn't make it any easier. In the last days, perilous times should come. We're not surprised that sin's on every hand. We're not surprised that Satan knows that he has but a short time and he's busy. I talk to preachers all the time and they say, the devil's down here. I say, no way, he's down there. He's up here. And then I talk to somebody else, no, he ain't up here. He's over here. Well, truth of the matter is, he's not omnipresent. He's one place, but he's got a lot of demons. And he's got a lot of influence. And he's got a lot of people working on his bidding. And the world is marching to Satan's beat. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world, lowercase g, had blinded the minds of people. So people can't even see the truth because the devil has blinded their minds. And he's got so many tools. And by the way, not everything is bad, but sometimes something that's not bad can be used in a bad way. It becomes a tool of Satan. So he knows that his time is running out. Nobody knows prophecy better than the devil does. He's read the Bible. He's been around. He started off in heaven as the worship leader. And somebody said, when the devil fell from heaven, where did he land? He landed in the sound system. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, and so the devil is busy and he wreaks havoc on all kinds of things. So we as Christians, we're not going to dismiss what the devil is doing, but we certainly need to gear up and be ready for it. And I want to tell you something about God. As strong and as powerful as the devil is, God always wins. Somebody say amen. I say, God always wins. So don't you walk around with your head down like you're a loser. You're not a loser. According to Romans chapter 8, you are not only a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. And you're not a conqueror because of your last name, because of your church membership. You're not a conqueror because of your DNA. You're not a conqueror because of what college you went to. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. In him we live, we breathe, we have our being. So understanding that in Daniel chapter 1, I want us to look at verse number 5. We talked last week about the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 6, among these were the children of Judah. What are their names? Read them with me. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar. Unto the Hananiah he gave the name what? Just see if you're paying attention. Mishael he gave the name. Azariah he gave the name. Verse number 8 is our focus verse for today. But Daniel, next word. If you're in the matter of highlighting your Bible, marking your Bible, would you mark or highlight the word purposed? If you don't mark your Bible, would you mark it in your mind? Purposed. Purposed. And then maybe circle the next three words, in his heart. It's a prepositional phrase describing where he purposed. Come on. Now watch this now. Does it really matter where my purpose is? Sure it does. You think Christian people, only people have purpose? People flying planes on 9/11 had a purpose. But their purpose was not in their heart according to God's purpose. So what was the purpose in his heart? Here it is. That he would not defile himself. That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not, what? Defile himself. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing, Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. I need your help, and I know you have exactly what I need. So, God, I'm praying, Lord, that you will move in a special way. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're moving. Thank you for how you're blessing. I pray, God, that you'll continue to help us be who we ought to be. And may we mind you as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So here we are watching Babylon do its thing. Read the book of the Revelation. I've just come through Revelation again and started back in Matthew this morning. And Babylon is so wicked, so vile, that when they fall, when God destroys their system in the book of the Revelation, that the blood reaches all the way up to the horse's bridle. That's how bad the wickedness and God's destruction of them amounted to by way of desecration. Babylon, for all of the people it had wounded, for all of the influence. The Bible tells us in the other prophecies, I believe it's Ezekiel, that Babylon was known for its pride and its self-sufficiency. Can I tell you, the system of Babylon is alive and well right now. And that's why the destruction of it happens in Revelation. And we're not in Revelation yet. By the way, aren't you glad we're not in Revelation yet? Some of you say, I want to get to Revelation. Well, there's a part about Revelation I'd like to get to. That's chapter number 4 where John said, I was caught up. Somebody say amen. And for the rest of Revelation, we are watching it from the vantage point of heaven. We're not appointed under wrath. In Romans chapter 8, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we firmly stand on the teaching of the word of God that God's people will not go through the tribulation period. And I'm glad about that. You know, Lot was messed up in the head, Lot messed up in his body, Lot messed up in his mind. But the Bible tells us Lot was righteous. Watch this now. He was righteous in his position. His righteousness was given to him by putting his faith in the Lord. How do people in the Old Testament get saved? They look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. The lambs that were slain, the sheep. Oh, Lord, sheeps. All right. Some of you say that it didn't even bother you. But the sheep that were slain, there's no S on sheeps. All right. And the goats that were slain, put an S on that. All of them were slain in forward attention to the Lamb of God that was slain. That's why he was slain for the foundation of the world. That's why he is the Lamb of God. Amen. They were a picture of that one that would come. Hebrews said, but this man, somebody say this man, after he'd offered sacrifice once for sin, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Once he sat down, he was done. The lambs had to be sacrificed every year to cover sins. Jesus had to be sacrificed one time. Amen. Now, why did he have to be sacrificed one time? Because his sacrifice was a sinless sacrifice. He had to pick the best lamb, but a lamb for a human being ain't going to go. Jesus died human for human. He became flesh. John chapter 1, robed in flesh. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. Now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we understand Lot was righteous. He looked forward to the return. And do you realize that the angel said, come on, Lot, you got to get out of here. We cannot destroy Sodom until you're gone. Amen. Aren't you glad that as much as God was intent on destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, he couldn't do it until he got his righteous man out of there. Come on now. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Aren't you glad about that? We're representatives of Christ in this world. We are from heaven. God has left us on earth to represent Jesus Christ. If America launches war on a foreign country, before we send bombs, we bring our ambassadors home. And I'm glad to tell you, before God launches war on a sin-sick world, he's going to bring us ambassadors home. Amen. So we're not in Revelation yet, but we're headed there. And we're watching Babylon and its system doing its thing. Here is Daniel, along with these other three Hebrew boys. We saw the challenging placement. God allowed them to be put there. And God has allowed us to be put there. Some of you are on a job and the people are attacking you and there's stuff going on around you. And you think, why am I here? I'll tell you why you're there. You're there to turn the light on. The cultivated preparation. These fellows did not understand everything that they were learning in Judah would help them in Babylon, but it did. You know what that says to me? Every time I come to church, I need to pay attention. Every time I open the Bible, I need to pay attention. Because I may be taking for granted the wealth of understanding that I'm getting in church and that I'm getting in the Bible, but there's coming a day when I land in Babylon, I'm going to need all of it. Don't ever dismiss a message or a sermon or a scripture in the Bible as unnecessary or irrelevant or impertinent or I really am not going through this right now. By the way, if you ever hear a series in the Bible or a series in church on marriage and you're single, you think I don't need it. You better put it in the queue. Put it in the queue. You better save it for a rainy day. Amen. Some of you still got toilet paper because you stacked up so much for the pandemic. Amen. Well, you say the stores are back open, but thank God you don't have to go. All right. So there's nothing wrong with storing. Hey, listen, animals know about that. Joseph knew about that. And it's amazing. We can store toilet paper, but we don't store scripture. Preach, pastor. Thy word have I. He says, store it. Store it. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Here's the problem with a lot of Christians, a lot of young people. They get everything they need in Judah, but they don't appreciate it. They don't store it. They get to Babylon, don't know what to do. They're so ready to get to Babylon, but you ain't ready for Babylon. You're ready to get to Babylon, but you ain't ready for Babylon. These fellas were not ready to get to Babylon, but they were ready for Babylon. Nobody should wish to go to Babylon, but if God allows you to go there, at least be ready. Peter says, be ready to answer every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. That's a judicial term. That the answer was a word that was used in the court of law. It literally meant to silence someone and to render them speechless. It ought to be when people question our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't go to stuttering and humming. And I think my church said, I think my pastor said, I think the constitution of our church. No. You need to be ready to answer every man. Listen to me. Your faith will be tested. The question is not, will it be tested? The question is, will you be ready to pass the test? So last week, the compelling proposition. The measured provision, the king's portion. Let me move quicker. The king's portion, the king's portion allocated for them was what the king Nebuchadnezzar, a godless man, wanted them to partake because it was his system he was infiltrating into their lives. And let me tell you something. The devil has a portion for you too. Did you hear me? The devil has a portion for you, too. Everybody wants something prepackaged. You know why people want prepackaged stuff? Because it's easier. Don't have to work for it. I mean, if you get a TV dinner, you know what that means? You just grab it real fast and go watch TV. But how many of you know just because it's fast doesn't mean it's better? And so everybody wants something. So the easy thing is just take the measured provision. Just eat the mainstream protocol. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody believes it. Everybody's being it. Everybody's okay with it. Everybody's fine with it. The law legalizes it. Popular people are doing it. Other people seem to not have a problem with it. Social norms have changed. But wait a minute. When have those people and those things ever defined the law? Listen to me, please. If the law is constantly moving, then so are we. Anything that's relative changes, and we change with it. The maintained prospect is that you'll do this for 3 years. The meticulous plan is that you will be able to stand before the king. Notice what he says, nourishing them that they might stand before the king. Listen to me. Babylon wants to get you ready to act like a Babylonian. Anybody hear me? The world wants to get you ready to be worldly. Now, by the way, that's not an excuse for Christians to be lazy. That's not an excuse for Christians to be late. That's not an excuse for Christians to be out of whack. That's not an excuse for Christians not to study. Listen to me. Just because the world wants you to be worldly doesn't mean you shouldn't do your homework. Doesn't mean you shouldn't wash your clothes. Doesn't mean you shouldn't follow your chores. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do the best on your job. Christian people ought to be the best of the best because we got the King of Kings leading us. Today I want you to write down and then we'll close in a little bit. Convicted purpose. Convicted purpose. Now, conviction is a belief, a firm, fixed belief. If we're not careful, we'll use words that are convenient. We'll mix them up. We'll make them have our own definitions. They sound good. We'll run with them and never do the research as to whether or not that's what they mean. There's a difference between a conviction and a standard. You didn't say amen. You must not know. A conviction is a firm belief rooted in the Word of God. A standard is a boundary set to help me keep the conviction. A standard is not a conviction. A conviction is not a standard. They're both good, but they're not the same. We need to be careful that we don't preach convictions as standards. Okay, just because we have a preference or we have a standard about something, we cannot call it a conviction unless that's what God says. But we also need to make sure that we don't obliterate standards, because as convictions are rooted in the Word of God, they're impossible to maintain without standards. Okay, I have a conviction about being safe, don't you? Try doing it without a speed limit. So the conviction is safety. The standard is a speed limit. Right? If you drive 65 and a 55, you're not necessarily doing something that's sinful, but you're doing something that makes safety more difficult. Somebody help me preach. Now, as a Christian, I have to embrace convictions because that's what God says. I don't have a choice at whether or not I agree with convictions. God didn't ask my opinion before he laid down the law. But what I should do is, based on my convictions, embrace standards that will keep me boundaried in the way that I should be, so that I don't go off the deep end. Years ago, I was preaching in Colorado, and this church invited me out to preach. And I went by myself, and Bethany wasn't here, and I was preaching, and I had to go up a mountain every single day in Colorado. I thought, first of all, what am I doing in Colorado? I don't see anybody looks like me in Colorado. That's number one. But I'm here doing the work of God. That's why I'm here. And then my place where I stayed was at the bottom of the mountain. The camp where I was preaching was at the top of the mountain. And I had the glorious privilege, as I have too many times preaching places, to drive a 15-passenger van. I've never known why a church, maybe some of them are watching. If you're watching, I've had COVID, so I can say whatever I want to say now, right? Don't ever give one person a 15-passenger van to drive in Colorado. There's a church gave me one of those 15-passenger vans in Oklahoma. I thought this was going over real well. Black man in Oklahoma with a church van. This not setting up real well, but God protected me, right? Let me see where I'm talking. I'm Colorado. So I'm in Colorado. And I'm driving this van up the mountain every day. No rails on the mountain. I thought, this is great. I'm in Colorado. I don't belong here. I'm driving a 15-passenger van. I should not be driving this. And I'm going to die, and it's not going to even make the news. I will be the subject of unsolved mysteries until the rapture. Entertaining for people, but not for my family. So every day I had to drive up this mountain a couple times a day. And when I would hit the brakes, it would skid a little bit. I remember telling Bethany, if God gets me out of here, I promise I'll never come here again. You know, can I tell you something? I don't want to fall off the side of that cliff. But, you know, if I was building there, I put rails there. Because the rail is a reinforcement to make sure nobody wants to fall off the cliff. But if the van happens to slide a little bit, put something there to keep it from falling. I tell you what Christians who live by convictions have learned to do. I better put something in my life to keep me from falling. Psalm 2, where we spoke, I believe, earlier in the year, kissed the sun. And the psalmist said, I can't remember the terminology right now, but let's remove the bands. The agenda of the devil and of the world today is to move all the boundaries. Eliminate right and wrong. Make everything subjective to the individual. Well, what do you think about it? Whatever you think about it is right. What do you feel about it? Whatever you feel about it is right. Well, what do you want to do? Whatever you want to do is right. The problem is man's heart is wicked, Jeremiah 17. And we don't need to do what we want to do. Well, Jiminy Cricket said, let your conscience be your guide. Jiminy Cricket is not God. You don't want your conscience to be your guide if, according to the New Testament, your conscience can be seared. You need the Word of God to be your guide. Write these things down and I'm done. Personal decision. Daniel purpose. It literally means a conscious decision or choice. He made a decision. You'll serve God when you decide to. Here's what the people of God have to do in 2021, 2022, and until Jesus comes. Decide to live for God. Daniel purposed it. It's a personal decision. You'll not do right because your parents. You'll not do right because your spouse. You'll not do right because your church. You'll not do right because your pastor. You'll not do right because of your president. Some Christians are up in arms. I don't know. If this person gets in office, we're going to go down the drain. Just because they legalize something don't mean you got to do it. And let me say this while I'm thinking about it. People were doing crazy stuff regardless who's in office. You need to decide you're going to do right, not who's sitting in the Oval Office, but who's sitting on the throne of heaven. You got to make a personal decision about prohibited defilement. I will not defile myself. What is to defile? To sully, to mar, to spoil, to desecrate, or to profane oneself. Listen, Daniel said, I cannot defile myself. Last week I told you that there were certain foods that were listed that the Jews were not to partake of. I also told you that eating food that was sacrificed to idols was unacceptable for the believer. And thirdly, to eat with the king represented accepting his friendship. There were three reasons at least that Daniel and those boys should not have touched that food. Now here's my question. Do you have any reasons for not doing something? Is it possible for the child of God to be defiled? Is there something you can watch? Is there action you can take? Is there stuff you can listen to? Would it ever be possible for us to make enough guidelines to keep Christians out of sin? No. That's why the Bible wants you to live according to principles. Notice I have a principle direction. He had to have principles as to what he wouldn't do. A passionate determination. I will not. He said he would not defile himself. And then I want you to write this down. A persuasive devotion. Here's what amazes me. Verse number 8 says Daniel purposed in his heart. But we get down to verse number 11. Daniel, whom the prince over the eunuchs had set, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, prove thy servants. Verse 17, as for how many? How many? Four. Verse number 8, who purposed? Verse number 17, how many benefited? How many purposed? How many benefited? Talk about influence. Daniel got serious about God, and three boys followed him because he was serious. Well, the Lord said something to me about this morning. By the way, we don't want to bulldoze people into following us. That's not flattering. You don't want to dictate people into following you. You want to demonstrate so that people follow you. You want devotion that people follow you. Well, I'm a leader. Are you? A lot of people claim to be leaders. Here's the best way to figure out you're a leader. Look behind you. Have you ever gotten somewhere and realized there was nobody behind you? Maybe I've told this story before. We were kids, and one of my pastor, my daddy's pastor friends came to stay over the house. And I don't know. Should I tell this, honey? What you think? Go ahead. All right. Well, blame it on COVID. So we were staying in our house, and here's my room on this side of the house. But we had to go use the other side of the house where Michael's room was to shower because we had guests. And somehow we showered over there, but we left our clothes over here. Some of you know where I'm going. And so we have to get from there to there. And my friend said, well, we just run real fast. Cross the hallway. We had a balcony in between the rooms, and below the balcony was the family room. And on top of the balcony were spigots that you could see through. So either the people in the family room have to be blind, nobody has to be in the family room, or we got to run real fast. He said, well, let's just go real fast. I said, well, we just run right across it. I'm a leader. I've always been a leader. So we just shot across that hallway. I heard some noise say, is that Kenny running across the hall? I got to the other side. I said, look at my friend, said, we made it. He never came. Some of you are thinking, what happened as a result of that leadership run? Two words. Jeanette Baldwin. I'll let you figure out the rest. It's by the grace of God. It's of His mercies that I was not consumed. His mercy, not hers. She didn't have any mercy. His mercies. We are not consumed. So I thought I was a leader, but I wasn't a leader. I made up my mind to do something, but I wasn't exactly successful in getting someone else to do it. Here's the problem in our world today. The best leaders are leading the wrong direction. And the ones that are living the best fail to lead. I'm asking this morning before we head home, do you have any principles? And let me ask you a question. Are you devoted enough to those principles to get somebody to follow you? Because they're watching. The Bible never says, Daniel said, y'all better follow me or I'm going to punish you because I've got clout around here. No. It says he purposed in his heart that he would not. He said no. Can you imagine looking at Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most powerful men on the globe at that time, and saying, you giving me meat and you giving me wine and I'm not eating it and I'm not drinking it. You got to have guts. And I'm convinced that in these last days, Christianity is going to be so under the scope that only Christians with guts will make it. Now, you're going to heaven. You don't need guts to go to heaven. You know why you don't need guts to go to heaven? Because you got grace. Jesus had the guts to come down here and hang and bleed and suffer the sin. Aren't you glad that our godliness is not what gets us to heaven? We're going to heaven on the merits of Jesus, what he did on the cross. But what he did on the cross should motivate in us the guts to stand for what's right. Folks, you've got to have biblical. That's why you got to read your Bible every day. Don't ever let anybody tell you that your pastor told you you could survive in Christianity on his preaching alone. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. Why? Because when they come up with new laws and they come up with new sayings and they come up with new cliches, you go back to the Word of God and say, no, I will not. Yeah, well, Naboth said that and he died and God fought for him even after he was dead. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Listen to me. Biblical principles work. What's a principle? An unchanging foundational truth based upon the character of God that is used for belief and behavior. Listen to me. You can't behave right if you don't believe right. And the problem is too many Christians are operating off the momentum and the hoopla of Christianity and not off the truth of Christianity. There will come a time you'll run out of gas because based on what church you've been in, what family you're from, or what you've been around, or what songs you know. You better have some Bible hidden in your heart that will keep you soaring when mama ain't looking and dad ain't looking and preacher ain't there and church is over. You better know that you do what's right because God says what's right. And if you land in Zimbabwe, Iraq, or Jordan, or anywhere else, you take the biblical principles and you live them out. And I promise you, in any spiritual economy, it will work. God help us. God give us some Daniels. Because I'm convinced if we'll get enough Daniels, there'll be enough Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's to follow. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that it's been helpful to us. Daniel purposed, but these Hebrew boys followed. and centuries later, we're still talking about. God, I want to make an impact on people, but for the right reason. Give us wisdom to discern convictions and standards and principles and preferences, all of these things. And ultimately, help us to realize that the battle must be won in the heart. Not just the outside, in the heart. It's got to be inside before it can ever go outside. Help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.